You're listening to On the Same Page, a podcast from the Jefferson Madison Regional Library.
Welcome back to another episode of On the Same Page. We're your hosts. I'm Abby.
And I'm Katie. We're librarians at the Central Library.
Happy Poem in Your Pocket Day, Katie.
Happy Poem in Your Pocket Day too, Abby. We've got a special poetry episode for you today since we can't hand out poems in person like we usually do.
That's right. Several of our colleagues have shared some of their favorite poems and even a few they've written themselves, all in celebration of Poem in Your Pocket Day.
But before we get to that, we've got book chat.
Katie, what did you read?
Yeah, so I read a collection of poems by, his name is Ilya Kaminsky. He is a Soviet Union born and raised, and he emigrated to the U.S. when he was 16. And I think he's still relatively young. I don't know for sure how old he is. But anyway, so this is a second collection of poems, and it's called Deaf Republic. And this is, it's not so much like a collection of, you know, just random poems put together. It's actually sort of like a really long narrative collection of poems.
Okay.
And, yeah, which is kind of an interesting way to read poetry. Because I always think, you know, it's, you know, like you read one page and then you move on to the next one. So that one kind of made this interesting, especially because Deaf Republic is, as I said, it's a narrative, but it's also kind of a parable. Told in verse. And so this one, it takes place in a fictional town. It's under martial law. And when it begins, a young deaf boy has just been killed by occupying soldiers. And so the town sort of retaliates against the soldiers in the town by pretending to be deaf and silent. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't speak anymore. And so they create their own sign language to sort of defy the martial law that they're under. So it was kind of a fascinating look at how silence can sort of be a weapon. But on the flip side, so it made you think a lot. But on the flip side, Kaminsky points out how, you know, we can be complacent, or how we can grow complacent, especially when, like his analogy with contemporary America, how, you know, wars going on, this could be around the world, but, you know, things happening in our own neighborhood that we sort of turn a blind eye to, or pretend that we don't hear or see. So definitely a lot of food for thought.
Cool. That does sound really interesting.
Mm-hmm. It was. What have you read lately?
I read a collection of poetry by Jose Olivares called Citizen Illegal. It came out a couple years ago, and the title kind of points to it, but it's really a reflection on his experience of growing up as a Chicago-born child of Mexican immigrants who were undocumented when he was a child but have since become citizens. So he's really sort of, the whole thing is really kind of a reflection on his experiences and identity, kind of stemming from, you know, the fact that he is a citizen and his parents weren't, and sort of that tension. Mm-hmm. So the first poem, the title poem, Citizen Illegal, has this really interesting structure where he, like not every time, but after most either concepts or nouns, he'll put in parentheses either citizen or illegal. So it'll be like the boy, citizen, like says something in the wrong language, illegal. And so it's like, it's a really interesting way of kind of conveying what it was like to navigate those two kind of identities at once, which was really cool.
No, it's true. I think it shows you the ways you can be creative with poetry.
Yeah. I hadn't seen something like that before. So he doesn't just stop with the tension between citizenship and status as undocumented, or that kind of illegality that's attributed to people without papers. He also kind of, he looks at identity when it comes to race and ethnicity, gender. And the race and ethnicity part is really interesting because, in Mexico, his dad was mestizo and his mother was white, but it's really hard to be in this country from anywhere in the Americas that is south of the U.S. and be considered white, I think. Mm-hmm. And so that was a really interesting thing. And one of his poems plays a lot with descriptors of people, so like Mexicanos or Mexican gringos, Chicanos, and he sort of delves into like, when am I Mexican, when am I Chicano, when am I American? And that was a really interesting also kind of look at that, the tension and difficulty of kind of walking between all of those identities. And that sort of fits in with this idea that we see in a lot of work from either children of immigrants or like kids from multiracial families, kind of talking about like, I am never, you know, whatever this is enough because I'm too much of that other kind of culture or ethnicity or nation or whatever it may be. But then I'm never that enough because of this other part. And so he talks about that as well. And so it was just, it was really interesting. So this whole collection was really kind of centered around identity. And it's not just, you know, the way he experiences his identity, but also the way that kind of the world reflects that back at him. And it was really good. Highly recommend it. And it is available on Overdrive or Libby, whichever your app of choice is.
Excellent. Yeah, I'll just check that out. And yeah, I should mention the book that I read, Deaf Republic, is also available on Overdrive.
Excellent.
And as of right now, you can check it out. So no wait time.
Perfect.
Yeah.
For many years, JMRL has celebrated Poem in Your Pocket Day, an initiative that's part of National Poetry Month. Each year, in preparation for the observance, staff have received permission from copyright holders to copy and distribute selected poems at JMRL locations and in the community. Both JMRL staff and area organizations have participated in sharing a wide variety of poems with the public for many years. Due to the circumstances this year, the library is observing the event virtually. In this podcast, you will hear JMRL staff read poems that are in the public domain, with some staff members sharing poems with you that they have written themselves. Enjoy the readings, and please remember to carry a poem in your pocket as you celebrate today.
This is Nina Wright, branch assistant at the Greene County Library. This poem is called Drachenfels, translation Dragon Crag, written by Lord Byron. The castled crag of Drachenfels frowns o'er the wide and winding Rhine, whose breast of waters broadly swells between the banks which bear the vine, and hills all rich with blossom trees, and fields which promise corn and wine, and scattered cities crowning these, whose far white walls along them shine, have strewed a scene which I should see with double joy wert thou with me. And peasant girls with deep blue eyes and hands which offer early flowers, walking, smiling o'er this paradise. Above the frequent feudal towers, through green leaves lift their walls of gray, and many a rock which steeply lowers, and noble arch in proud decay. Look o'er this vale of vintage bowers, but one thing want these banks of Rhine, thy gentle hand to clasp in mine. I send the lilies given to me, though long before thy hand they touch, I know that they must withered be, but yet reject them not as such. For I have cherished them as dear, because they yet may meet thine eye and guide thy soul to mine even here, when thou beholdest them drooping nigh and know'st them gathered by the Rhine and offered from my heart to thine. The river nobly foams and flows, the charm of this enchanted ground, and all its thousand turns disclose some fresher beauty varying round. The haughtiest breast is wish might bound through life to dwell delighted here, nor could on earth a spot be found to nature and to me so dear. Could thy dear eyes and following mine still sweeten more these banks of Rhine? Thine Eyes Still Shined by Ralph Waldo Emerson. Thine eyes still shine for me, though far I lonely rove the land or sea, as I behold yon evening star, which yet beholds not me. This morn I climbed the misty hill and roamed the pastures through. How danced thy form before my path amidst the deep eyed dew? When the red bird spread his sable wing and showed his side of flame, when the rosebud ripened to the rose, in both I read thy name. A Dream Within a Dream by Edgar Allan Poe. Take this kiss upon the brow, and in parting from you now, thus much let me avow, you are not wrong who deem that my days have been a dream. Yet if hope has flown away in a night or in a day, in a vision or in none, is it therefore the less gone? All that we see or seem is but a dream within a dream. I stand amid the roar of a surf-tormented shore, and I hold within my hand grains of the golden sand. How few, yet how they creep through my fingers to the deep, while I weep, while I weep. O God, can I not grasp them with a tighter clasp? O God, can I not save one from the pitiless wave? Is all that we see or seem but a dream within a dream? This poem is by Emily Dickinson. This is the Mabel Loomis Todd edition of I Never Saw More. I never saw more, I never saw the sea, yet know I how the heather looks and what a wave must be. I never spoke with God, nor visited in heaven, yet certain am I of the spot as if the chart were given.
My name is Evan Stankovics, Adult Programming Librarian at the Northside Library. I will be reading The Table and the Chair by Edward Lear. Said the table to the chair, you can hardly be aware how I suffer from the heat and from chilblains on my feet. If we took a little walk, we might have a little talk. Pray let us take the air, said the table to the chair. Said the chair unto the table, now you know we are not able. How foolishly you talk when you know we cannot walk. Said the table with a sigh, it can do no harm to try. I've as many legs as you. Why can't we walk on two? So they both went slowly down and walked about the town with a cheerful bumpy sound as they toddled round and round. And everybody cried as they hastened to their side, see the table and the chair have come out to take the air. But in going down an alley to a castle in a valley, they completely lost their way and wandered all the day, till to see them safely back, they paid a ducky quack, and a beetle and a mouse, who took them to their house. Then they whispered to each other, oh, delightful little brother, what a lovely walk we've taken. Let us dine on beans and bacon. So the ducky and the little, brownie mousey and the beetle, dined and danced upon their heads, till they toddled to their beds.
Hi, my name is Tish, and I'm from Gordon Avenue Library. This poem is entitled The Happiest Day, by Edgar Allan Poe. The happiest day, the happiest hour, my seared and blighted heart hath known. The highest hope of pride and power, I feel hath flown. Of power, said I? Yes, such I ween. But they have vanished long, alas. The visions of my youth have been, but let them pass. And pride, what have I now with thee? Another brow may even inherit the venom thou hast poured on me. Be still, my spirit. The happiest day, the happiest hour, mine eyes shall see, have ever seen, the brightest glance of pride and power I feel have been. But were that hope of pride and power now offered with the pain, even then I felt that brightest hour I would not live again. For on its wing was dark alloy, and as it fluttered fell, in essence powerful to destroy, a soul that knew it well. The Happiest Day by Edgar Allan Poe.
Hi, this is Anne Marie. I work at the Gordon Avenue Public Library. The poem I will be reading is The Flower at My Window by Lucian B. Watkins. Oh, my heart now feels so cheerful as I go with footsteps light in the daily toil of my dear home. And I'll tell to you the secret that now makes my life so bright. There's a flower at my window in full bloom. It is radiant in the sunshine and so cheerful after rain, and it wafts upon the air its sweet perfume. It is very, very lovely. May its beauties never wane, this dear flower at my window in full bloom. Nature has so clothed it in its such glorious array, and it does so cheer our home and hearts illume. Its dear memory I will cherish, though the flower fade away, this dear flower at my window in full bloom. Off I gaze upon this flower with its blossoms pure and white, and I think as I behold its gay costume, while through life we are all passing, may our lives be always bright, like this flower at my window in full bloom.
I'm Sarah Hamfelt from the Central Library, and this is Sonnet by Alice Moore Dunbar Nelson. I had not thought of violets late, the wild, shy kind that spring beneath your feet in wistful April days, when lovers mate and wander through the fields in rapture sweet. The thought of violets meant florist shops, and bows and pins and perfumed papers fine, and garish lights and mincing little fops, and cabarets and soaps and deadening wines. So far from sweet real things my thoughts had strayed, I had forgot wide fields and clear brown streams, the perfect loveliness that God has made, wild violets shy in heaven-mounting dreams. And now, unwittingly, you've made me dream of violets and my soul's forgotten gleam.
Hi, this is Alan Van Cleef from the Bookmobile. I'm going to read Emily Dickinson's poem, There Is No Frigate Like a Book. There is no frigate like a book to take us lands away, nor any coursers like a page of prancing poetry. This traverse may the poorest take without a press of toll. How frugal is the chariot that bears a human soul. Reading D.H. Lawrence's poem, At the Window. The pine trees bend to listen to the autumn wind as it mutters, something which sets the black poplars ashake with hysterical laughter, while slowly the house of day is closing its eastern shutters. Further down the valley the clustered tombstones recede, winding about their dimness the mist's gray cerements, after the street lamps in the darkness have suddenly started to bleed. The leaves fly over the window and utter a word as they pass to the face that leans from the darkness, intent with two dark-filled eyes that watch forever earnestly from behind the window glass. Edward Thomas's poem, Thaw. Over the land freckled with snow, half thawed, the speculating rooks at their nests cawed, and saw from elm tops, delicate as flowers of grass, what we below could not see. Winter pass. And I'm going to read to you Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's poem, Song. Stay, stay at home, my heart, and rest. Home-keeping hearts are happiest. For those that wander, they know not where, are full of trouble and full of care. To stay at home is best. Weary and homesick and distressed, they wander east, they wander west, and are baffled and beaten and blown about by the winds of the wilderness of doubt. To stay at home is best. Then stay at home, my heart, and rest. The bird is safest in its nest. O'er all that flutter their wings and fly, a hawk is hovering in the sky. To stay at home is best.
Hello, my name is Chris. I'm a reference librarian at the Northside Library, and I will be reading a poem I wrote myself called Philia. During wild-eyed evenings that caress the wee hours, we soak in box wine and home-brewed liquors, and we are full of sustenance, prepared with methods perfected, salted and seasoned and built up bursting with nectar and ambrosia. Our laughter echoes evermore into the coal-black night, as we gaze deep into the all-reflecting eye and see the world there with all its flaws. And yet beauty in colored pages we flip through together in an endless search for an aesthetic, that we might have found, but only glimpses have I seen, reflected in his toothy sweet smile, then vanished as in dream.
Hi, this is Angela from Central Children's, and today I'd like to share with you a fun poem by Christina Rossetti called The Caterpillar. Brown and furry, caterpillar in a hurry. Take your walk to the shady leaf or stalk. May no toad spy you. May the little birds pass by you. Spin and die to live again, a butterfly. And that was The Caterpillar by Christina Rossetti.
Hi, I'm Camille Thompson, the branch manager at the Gordon Avenue Library. I'm going to read you Travel by Edna St. Vincent Millay. The railroad track is miles away, and the day is loud with voices speaking. Yet there isn't a train goes by all day, but I hear its whistle shrieking. All night there isn't a train goes by, though the night is still for sleep and dreaming. But I see its cinders red on the sky and hear its engines steaming. My heart is warm with the friends I make, and better friends I'll not be knowing. Yet there isn't a train I wouldn't take, no matter where it's going.
Hi, I'm Wendy, a reference librarian from the Northside Library. A Gift by Leonora Spyer. I woke. Night, lingering, poured upon the world of drowsy hill and wood and lake her moon song, and the breeze accompanied with hushed fingers on the birches. Gently the dawn held out to me a golden handful of birds' notes. When to the sessions of sweet silent thought. Sonnet 30 by William Shakespeare. When to the sessions of sweet silent thought I summon up remembrance of things past, I sigh the lack of many a thing I sought, and with old woes new wail my dear time's waste. Then can I drown an eye unused to flow for precious friends hid in death's dateless night, and weep afresh love's long since cancelled woe, and moan the expense of many a vanished sight. Then can I grieve at grievances foregone, and heavily from woe to woe tell o'er the sad account of four bemoaned moan, which I knew pay as if not paid before. But If the while I think on thee, dear friend, all losses are restored and sorrows end.
Hi, my name is Tim Crowan. I'm the show in the Central Children's Department, and I will be reading Hope is the Thing with Feathers by Emily Dickinson. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetness in the gale is heard. Some must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, and yet never in extremity it acts a crumb of me.
Hello, my name is Whitney. I'm the supervising children's librarian at the Central Library, and I'm reading a children's poem called Whoosh Goes the Wind, written by myself and the trees in my yard. Whoosh goes the wind as it sweeps through the day, blowing clouds and seeds on their way. Sigh, billows the breeze as it sings through the trees and carries off bird songs in every key. Whoosh goes the wind as it ruffles fluffy tails and covers the noise of creeping paw nails. Hush calms the breeze as it nudges us along. Any way it chooses, none can be wrong. Whoosh goes the wind as it settles out of sight. Sometimes staying put feels the best, most right. Whoosh. Good night.
This is Glennis, children's librarian at Gordon Avenue Library, reading My Shadow by Robert Louis Stevenson. I have a little shadow that goes in and out with me, and what can be the use of him is more than I can see. He is very, very like me, from the heels up to the head, and I see him jump before me when I jump into my bed. The funniest thing about him is the way he likes to grow, not at all like proper children, which is always very slow. For he sometimes shoots up taller like an India rubber ball, and he sometimes gets so little that there's none of him at all. He hasn't got a notion of how children ought to play, and can only make a fool of me in every sort of way. He stays so close beside me. He's a coward, you can see. I'd think shame to stick to nursie as that shadow sticks to me. One morning very early, before the sun was up, I rose and found the shining dew on every buttercup. But my lazy little shadow, like an errant sleepyhead, had stayed at home behind me and was fast asleep in bed. The Poet and the Baby by Paul Laurence Dunbar. How's a man to write a sonnet? Can you tell? How's he going to weave the dim poetic spell when a toddlin' on the floor is the muse he must adore? And this muse he loves not wisely, but too well. Now to write a sonnet, everyone allows, one must always be as quiet as a mouse. But to write one seems to me quite superfluous to be when you've got a little sonnet in the house. Just a dainty little poem, true and fine, that is full of love and life in every line. Earnest, delicate, and sweet. Altogether so complete that I wonder what's the use of writing mine. How doth the little crocodile by Lewis Carroll. How doth the little crocodile improve his shining tail and pour the waters of the Nile on every golden scale. How cheerfully he seems to grin, how neatly spreads his claws, and welcomes little fishes in with gently smiling jaws.
Amy, Crozet Library, April, by Amy Penslangto. The dogwoods are blooming early, and lilac is putting on an unscheduled show. Beauty is spinning around us, yet it's not the one we used to know. Laughter from their playing is vacant and found nowhere near. Occasional chit-chat and watching is granted through a lens that's not so free and clear. Do they even know we miss them? As for us, time is long, eerie, and still. Touching cheeks, sitting close and resting is for us absent with so much time to fill. Filling it with distracted motions, the day is not distinguished from the one before. Constantly, birds are chirping and flowers blooming, but certain things we aren't able to ignore. Movement is thrown into stillness, and the wind will often follow. The moon is out and maybe wonders what is happening below.
Hi, I'm Wynn. I'm a reference librarian at the Central Branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library. And this is Jabberwocky by Lewis Carroll, first published in Chapter 1 of Through the Looking Glass. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wade. All mimsy were their borogroves, and the mome wraiths outgrabe. Beware the Jabberwock, my son, the jaws that bite, the claws that catch. Beware the Jubjub bird, and shun the frumious Bandersnatch. He took his vorpal sword in hand, long time the manxome foe he sought. So rested he by the Tumtum tree, and stood a while in thought. And as in uffish thought he stood, the Jabberwock, with eyes of flame, came whiffling through the tulgey wood, and burbled as it came. 1, 2, 1, 2, and through the vorpal blade went snicker-snack. He left it dead, and with its head he went galumphing back. "And hast thou slain the Jabberwock? Come to my arms, my beamish boy! O frabjous day! Calloo, calay!" he chortled in his joy. 'Twas brillig, and the slithy toves did gyre and gimble in the wabe. All mimsy were the borogroves, and the mome wraiths outgrabe. We Never Know How High We Are, 1176, by Emily Dickinson. We never know how high we are till we are called to rise. And then, if we are true to plan, our statures touch the skies. The heroism we recite would be a daily thing, did not ourselves the cubits warp for fear to be a king. Fog, by Carl Sandburg. The fog comes on little cat feet. It sits looking over harbor and city, on silent haunches, and then moves on. Bed in Summer, by Robert Louis Stevenson. In winter, I get up at night and dress by yellow candlelight. In summer, quite the other way, I have to go to bed by day. I have to go to bed and see the birds still hopping on the tree, or hear the grown-up people's feet still going past me in the street. And does it not seem hard to you when all the sky is clear and blue, and I should like so much to play, to have to go to bed by day? A Day, by Emily Dickinson. I'll tell you how the sun rose, a ribbon at a time. The steeples swam in amethyst, the news like squirrels ran. The hills untied their bonnets, the bobolinks begun. When I said softly to myself, that must have been the sun. But how he set, I know not. There seemed a purple stile, which little yellow boys and girls were climbing all the while. Till when they reached the other side, a dominie in gray put gently up the evening bars and led the flock away.
Hi, I'm Tim with the Central Library. I'll be reading two poems. The first one is titled 35, A Man Saw a Ball of Gold in the Sky, by Stephen Crane. A man saw a ball of gold in the sky. He climbed for it, and eventually he achieved it. It was clay. Now this is the strange part. When the man went to the earth and looked again, Lo, there was the ball of gold. Now this is the strange part. It was a ball of gold. Aye, by the heavens, it was a ball of gold. The second poem is by Paul Lawrence Dunbar, titled Summer in the South. The oriole sings in the greening grove as if he were halfway waiting. The rosebuds peep from their hoods of green, timid and hesitating. The rain comes down in a torrent sweep, and the nights smell warm and piney. The garden thrives, but the tender shoots are yellow-green and tiny. Then a flash of sun on a waiting hill. Streams laugh that erst were quiet. The sky smiles down with dazzling blue, and the woods run mad with riot. Hi, I'm Tim with the Central Library, and I'm reading a poem written and shared by Jackie Dempsey Cohen, who was a regular part of JMRL's Poem in Your Pocket Day activities while a member of the JMRL staff. Her poem is titled, Coffee, How Do I Love Thee? I sing a song of coffee laced with jive, a lyric conjured fresh from beans and need, stirred up by honeyed dash of gleeful guile and brewed in mugs with fragrant dreamy greed. Barista's blends, robust, complex, divine, beguile with shine and spice enticing thirst. And I, bewitched by heady haze, sublime, imbibe with fervent mind engaged, submersed in liquid lust for Java jolt of joy. To leap awake with tongue alive, suffused with mocha-fueled barrage of happy noise. I croon, provoke, emote, invoke, infuse. Unleash, I gush espresso-scented praise, unfiltered buzz in caffeine-laden days.
We want to thank all of our wonderful colleagues for pitching in to celebrate poetry with us today.
Yes, it's a fitting way to close out National Poetry Month. We're glad that we're still able to celebrate Poem in Your Pocket Day, even when we can't do it in person.
As of this recording, JMRL is still closed until further notice. In order to comply with the governor's stay-at-home order, we ask that you keep all JMRL materials at home until we reopen. Due dates will be adjusted and nothing will come due until 2 weeks after we open our doors.
We'd like to remind you that Wi-Fi is still on at every branch, and we've boosted the signal where possible to make it easy to use from the parking lot. We will once again include links in our show notes to two frequently updated pages related to the COVID-19 outbreak, one of which includes a long list of freely available online resources.
This podcast is made possible through generous support from the Friends of the Library. If you'd like to learn more or to join the Friends, please head to their website at jmrlfriends.org.
Please hit subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast. If you have books that you'd like us to read and discuss or topics that you'd like to hear on a future episode, please email us at podcasts@jmrl.org.
That's all for us today. We'll be back in 2 weeks with more content. Happy Poem in Your Pocket Day. Thanks for tuning in, and we're glad to be on the same page.